I'm Vermont Edition producer Sam Gale Rosen. This podcast has been edited for brevity, and we hope you like it.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Over the past few months, the State Board of Education has met almost every other week as it tries to vote on 43 different proposals school districts have put before them. These proposals are required under the rules of Act 46, a law that encourages and then forces school districts to merge or to explain why they can't. The board has until November 30th to make all of its final decisions. At a meeting in Barrie last week, State Board member John O'Keefe said the task has not been easy.
It's been an interesting process, but I think it's also been a tough one, too. I mean, there's a lot to ponder here. I mean, the decisions that we're making are huge decisions. I mean, it impacts kids. Whatever we come up with, I'm going to be happy with it. Other people won't be happy with it, but I think I'll be happy with what we did here, but I think we'll all be happy when November 30th is here as well.
O'Keefe is correct that not everyone is happy, and they likely won't be come the end of the month either. In fact, more than 24 school districts have joined a potential lawsuit taking aim at the board's decisions and having the potential to unravel Act 46 altogether. First up, let's talk with Kara Zimmerman, chair of the Stowe School District, which is part of the Lamoille South Supervisory Union. The State Board of Education has provisionally voted to merge the Stowe and Elmore Morristown districts into a single district by July of next year. Both school boards dislike this plan and want to stick with their current governing structure. Kara Zimmerman, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thank you for having me.
So as I said, the State Board of Education has recommended the merger of these two districts. Why is that something that neither the supervisory union or either board thinks is a good idea?
Well, I'm going to speak first to the merits of our case, and then I'll jump a bit into the impact of the merger on our two districts. Starting with the merits of our case, Elmore Morristown and Stowe are two high-functioning school districts that have already separately achieved the goals of Act 46. The educational quality of both of our districts is among the best in the state. Both districts have demonstrated success in performance. We track closely in our outcomes, continue to expand educational opportunity for kids, and really fall just short of the 900-student threshold, with Elmore Morristown's average daily membership coming in at 898.85 students, and Stowe at 761, with projected growth of more than 100 students over the next 10 years.
And by that, you mean 900 students so that you wouldn't have to merge with another district because you're too small.
Exactly.
So you're making a case here, and I'll let you continue, but who are you making the case to? Because the State Board of Education has already made a recommendation.
Well, that is true. We just want everybody to understand the real impact of these forced mergers on communities that are currently meeting and, we believe, exceeding the goals of Act 46. And we just, at the end of the day, we really want people to know that locally we have determined that our current structure is what's best for kids. And, you know, in our context, this means dissolving two highly functioning, high-performing, and cost-efficient school districts and replacing those with one district, you know, governed by articles of agreement that are drawn up by the state board without any input from our local leaders and from our community. And the impact will be enormous. And we think the merits of our case are important for people to understand, because it's important that people know that we are highly functioning school districts.
So, Kara, let me ask you. On November 1st, the Lamoille South Superintendent, Tracy Wen, wrote a note to the community that says, in part, "Regardless of the governance structure, please be assured that the day-to-day experiences of teaching and learning in our schools will continue as they are today. A change in governance does not equate to a change in school operations." So what are the real impacts you're experiencing or expect to experience, if not in how students and families experience their school?
Well, that's an excellent question. I would say most notably, shrinking the size of our boards. You know, right now we have 12 members across both districts, and we'll be shrinking the size of those boards to 6. The work of school boards is increasing, yet we are decreasing the number of board members to do that work. Beyond that, we will have to merge to one budget without any time to educate our taxpayers, and this completely flies in the face of transparency and accountability. The taxpayers of Morristown can expect to see a tax hike due to merger for the second time in 3 years, and then we have huge and immediate capital needs in both school districts. And Elmore and Morristown are going to shoulder the majority of that cost, and they could see tax increases of 13% or more. And then finally, I would say that, you know, the merger is really going to hijack our agenda for the foreseeable future. And instead of talking about student learning, our attention and energy is really going to be turned to merging governance. Mergers take time, and we would prefer to spend that time on helping our students, and we just can't understand how forcing a merger is going to help our students.
Do you think student learning and family experience will be affected eventually in either a positive or a negative way?
Well, of course, the student experience and the family experience could change. We can't stand at the beginning of this process and guarantee that the experience won't change for our students. What we can say is that we are two school boards who are committed to our schools and to our students, and we will remain a center of excellence, but we want people to know that the pathway to excellence will be harder, and that is an unfortunate consequence of this process.
Will the pathway to excellence be cheaper?
Well, in the short run, it will not be. We have wrung out, and we have demonstrated that in our proposal and all of the research that we have done, looking deeply, deeply into how we operate our schools. And we have determined that we have wrung out all the efficiencies already in our current supervisory union structure. And then I outlined for you earlier that we're anticipating tax increases next year for Morrisville. And if we go through with the capital projects that we desperately need to move forward with, Elmore and Morristown can expect to shoulder a huge percentage of that cost. And that just does not seem fair.
So what's the next step for you then? We know there is a planned lawsuit. What are you going to do?
Well, I don't want to comment on that at this time. We are meeting again on November 28th, and we anticipate that at that time the state plan will be final and we'll be able to determine our next steps. I will tell you that we are committed to doing what is best for kids, and that both boards have repeatedly demonstrated a commitment to the current operating structure for our supervisory union.
That's Kara Zimmerman, chair of the Stowe School District. The State Board of Education has provisionally voted to merge Stowe with Elmore Morristown in the Lamoille South Supervisory Union, and both school boards are opposed to that. Kara, thank you very much for explaining where your community's situation lies in this whole Act 46 thing. I appreciate it.
Jane, thank you so much for having me.
Let's get a different perspective now from Gene Collins, superintendent of Rutland Northeast Supervisory Union, which has had a positive merger experience. Jeannie, it's nice to talk with you again.
Thank you.
So you have a different story, and as I understand it, at the beginning of 2016, voters in 8 towns decided to merge 6 school districts into 2. I'm not sure it's useful in the time that we have to describe exactly which school is in which district and how it used to be, but maybe you could, sort of broadly speaking, explain what has changed for families and for the way the school boards deal with these issues now. So let's start with families. What has changed for families with this merger?
Well, one of the first things that the Outer Valley Unified Union School Board could do with 5 elementary schools and 1 middle high school is offer school choice for families. And so elementary school choice. And so the board passed a policy the first year. And so in the fall of 2016, families could choose which of the elementary schools they wanted their kids to go to. We did. And then each year since then, we've had families choose. And we have families choosing both large schools and small schools. It goes both directions. variety of reasons. Maybe it's, you know, closer to where a family works or childcare or what the school offers, but it opened up possibilities for families.
Was that elementary school choice one of the driving reasons behind voters approving the merger, or is that just a nice perk for families?
We talked about it a little bit with the merger, but it was not a compelling reason for the merger. It really is a nice benefit out of the merger.
So how about how things have changed now going from six school districts into two? How does it change how your districts are making decisions?
Significantly. Again, Otter Valley served six towns. Barstow Unified serves two towns, and they served two towns before under a joint agreement. So how the governance structure at Barstow did not significantly change with the merger. It just cleaned up what used to be a joint agreement. But Otter Valley, with six towns, we were able over the last couple of years, as I said, offer school choice. We were able also to do some reconfiguration of the schools to right size the district so that a student at a small school that might not have any peers in his grade now has peers in his grade but still can stay in a small school. We're able to reduce a significant number of staff, but nobody ultimately needed to lose their job because with normal retirements, we now were able to move staff around to where they're needed. It used to be that when each town was its own district, if that school cut a position, the teacher was gone or the staff member was gone. Now, if we don't need a teacher or a staff member at Neshebe School, we could move that person to Lester School because they're needed there. So it's more security for the teaching staff and the paraeducator staff as well, and also saves us money in not having to recruit, onboard, hire, train, and then lose somebody because of budget cuts.
What were the biggest fears or concerns that people had prior to the mergers?
I think one fear, of course, was closing small schools. We have three small schools, a medium size and a large elementary. And so one fear is closing small schools. A second fear probably was it's a change to have fewer board members who are in charge of all the schools. So the fear of not having that local control in a particular school community.
And have those fears been alleviated, do you think?
I don't think that the closing small schools fear is going to be alleviated until the 4 years passes. But what the board successfully did this past budget season was reconfigure the three small schools so that one is a preschool, one serves grades K to four, and one serves grades 5 to 6. So essentially creating a three-campus single school, which I think should be able to keep the schools open and viable. But, you know, the trust isn't there yet because the timeline to do that hasn't passed yet. The board has been working really hard on reaching out to communities. I think they've made a lot of progress in building trust with the communities on that the entire board is out for, is really looking out for all kids in the district. But that continues to be an ongoing need. You know, we're in our third year of the merger, and I think those are the two areas that we still are keeping our eyes on.
Given how you've changed the small elementary schools, are kids being bused long distances? That may be not as much of a concern in Rutland Northeast, but certainly a concern in many school districts around the state.
Right. Our small schools were K-6 schools, fewer than 40 kids per school and 3 miles apart. For us, the busing did not actually change the route. That was a concern last year when it was proposed, but the reality has shown that kids are not on the bus any longer than usual. You know, that might be different in a different community that's further apart, but for us, it's not an issue.
Kara Zimmerman was telling us why she and others don't want to merge in Lamoille South Supervisory Union. The State Board of Education is recommending that Stowe merge with Elmore Morristown. Do you have either sympathy for districts that don't want to merge or see areas when you talk to colleagues around the state where you think this Act 46 just doesn't make sense, merging doesn't make sense in some communities?
I don't know that I'm really a fair person to answer that one. I'll leave that to the State Board of Education, the Secretary of Education. I can say, though, that there are many places where it makes sense to merge, and we were one of those places. We already had centralized policies across the SU. We already had a single contract for teachers across the SU. It just really made sense for us, and I think that there are other places where it really does make sense.
How do you think, then, the state should proceed now? I mean, are there things that you're looking at when the legislature reconvenes or starts its new biennium in January that either have you worried about decisions that might be made that might undo some of what you've been working on or that you think could really help this process moving forward?
I think that I would really like to see the state allow the Act 46 process to play out. And by that, I mean, if you start changing the law and changing, creating loopholes in the law, I think that does hurt the districts who have made the leap of confidence to move forward. And
even though you're saying this is better for you, it's worked out well?
Yes. And the reason I think it could affect us is because as the governor continues to talk about school budgets rising and cost shifting, if you don't let this play out, you don't really know how that's going to benefit the state. For us, we reduced our budget last year by $1.5 million. And without Act 46, we could not have done that. We could not have done it in a way that kept all of our schools open and all of our staff employed, but we did. I think it needs to be allowed to play out.
That's Jeannie Collins, superintendent of the Rutland Northeast Supervisory Union. Thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
We've heard a couple different examples here now of how the Act 46 process is playing out around the state. Of course, every district, every supervisory union is different, and all communities have different concerns and questions and geography and school governance. When we come back, we're going to talk with the State Board of Education Vice Chair Bill Mathis. And if you have a question for him, you can post it on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net, or you can call 1-800-639-2211. Brad says consolidation is not new to Vermont. At one time, our town had 18 single-room schoolhouses. By the 1960s, they had consolidated down to a single building serving all 12 grades. Last year, our school's census was almost 50% less than it was just 20 years ago. Looking to the future, our community wanted to do what was best for our students, so we consolidated with a neighboring town and boosted our student population, added back courses and extracurricular activities. We chose to build a school which we hope will survive the next round of school consolidation. Unless people start having more kids, that day will once again come. But Rebecca in Brattleboro says, as I see it, the chief effect of Act 46 will be to do away with local school boards, consolidating budgeting and other decisions in regional boards that will be closely allied with district administrators. We will no longer have neighbors meeting regularly to oversee our local schools. Legislators I have talked to, even those who supported the act when it passed, did not intend for this to happen. I suspect the state's usurpation of responsibility for our schools is illegal and look forward to eventually hearing the opinion of the Vermont Supreme Court. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Today we're talking about district mergers under Act 46 and the looming deadline of November 30th for the State Board of Education to make its final decisions. Ben emailed in to say, to me, Act 46 stands as an example of a common and destructive authoritarian trend in government at all levels, where power and decision-making is consolidated and removed from many values and costs experienced by the people it serves. This kind of law does not enable meaningful community solutions, it is bad for public morale, and it is disastrous for democracy. If school boards had a hard time getting community support before Act 46, merged boards will face far worse, where merged districts are seen as entities imposed by the state. Susan in Cabot says, my two children attend Cabot High School, and it's been a great experience for them. The Act 46 process has been long and frustrating for Cabot. We looked into merging with neighboring towns, but decided there's too much risk in being a minority voice on a school board and potentially being forced to close our beautiful small school, which is the heart and soul of the village. Our small size is a strength, not a weakness. Cabot School is a model for how small schools can work well. It's exhausting and frustrating to have to keep defending ourselves from the state. All right. Well, what they're talking about when they talk about the state is partly the State Board of Education, which is tasked with making final recommendations on November 30th for the remaining school district merger plans. And joining us now is the vice chair of that board, Bill Mathis. He was superintendent of Rutland Northeast Supervisory Union for 27 years before retiring in 2009. Bill Mathis, nice to have you back on the program.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
All right. So there's a lot of opposition, and particularly opposition in communities that have resisted merging in the previous 3 years and haven't found a way to do so easily or to do so in a way that gets voter support. Where is the board right now in the process of making these final recommendations?
Well, it's very close to final recommendations. We have a few outstanding places yet to look at, but we're basically complete with the meeting last week.
So on November 30th, all of the final recommendations are due. And who do you make them to and where do they go next?
Well, actually, it becomes an order in terms of the state board, but we can expect that we will hear from the legislature and we can expect that to hear from the courts as well.
But in theory, your decisions are final. They become imposed on the school districts then?
Yes.
So how are you thinking about this process and realizing that, you know, a board is comprised of many members, not all of whom agree all the time, but then you have to come to final decisions. How are you thinking about the alternative governance structures that many communities have suggested and where voters stand on this? How do you weigh all of the decisions that you need to make?
Very carefully. There's all manner of decisions, and each situation is one-off. It represents circumstances in one place which can be very different from another. And we make a qualitative decision on that. And for a board of 9 people with very different backgrounds, they work together quite well.
So when we've gotten questions from people who are not very excited about this process, including Scott in Calais, who says, how does the state justify forcing mergers on school districts that have complied with Act 46 and shown that the merger fails to meet the goals of the act? And similarly, since we heard from this supervisory union before, Alan and others emailed in to say, please explain your justification for voting to force the Elmore, Morristown, and Stowe school districts to merge into a single district. The Secretary of Education reviewed their Section 9 alternative governance structure proposal, found that a forced merger would not advance the goals of Act 46, and recommended accepting the proposal. So how do you make these decisions?
Well, in each case, we look at the different criteria that's required in the law. But it's also it's an art form in the sense that each is a little bit different. And in the Stowe case that you just mentioned, it was very similar to another case in which basically it was two K-12 systems who were merged in one case by the secretary's recommendation. But then the Stowe decision was very different. And it was very unique in that it was the only one of the 43 decisions that were tied.
But still, these communities are saying we've met the goals of Act 46 without a merger, and now the state is telling us we have to merge. So are you disagreeing that these communities have met the goals of Act 46?
No. What the law says, and we're bound to implement the law, it was handed to us and that's what we have to follow. And it says that the preferred structure is a K-12 unit, and so we were aiming towards getting the school structured in that fashion.
Listeners, if you have a question for State Board of Education Vice Chair Bill Mathis, our number is 800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or you can post your comments and questions on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. Bill Mathis, you mentioned the law and the fact that you're beholden to the law. Wyndham 4 State Representative Mike Merwicki emailed in to say, down here in the Southeast Kingdom, our schools are performing well and the mandate to merge bumps up against a strong sentiment of if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If districts feel it's in their best interests, fine. If there are savings, that's also good. But my best guess is if we're saving money as promised, it would be writ large in banner headlines. My understanding, and that of many other legislators, is that Act 46 has more flexibility than how it's being implemented by the Agency of Education and the State Board of Education. The Wyndham County delegation members who serve the Wyndham Southeast and Northeast Supervisory Unions sent a letter to that effect this summer during the hearings. This included legislators who voted for Act 46. So why, I mean, is the state board implementing the law more strictly than it needs to be interpreted?
Some would interpret it that way, and I'm sure that that will be an issue when it comes to the courts. But the law says that the districts have to be practical and possible, and it has to guarantee equity. And the objective, the overt objective, is to have the smallest number of preferred districts, which is K-12 districts. And so we're actually driving towards a goal that it doesn't matter whether individuals prefer it or like it or not, but it was what was given to us. I think it will be revisited.
What do you mean it will be revisited?
I think it'll be the subject of bills in the legislature. People who voted for Act 46 are perhaps looking at it a little bit differently. And whether these gain traction or not, we will have to see.
That sounds like it could really complicate things. We heard from Jeannie Collins, who
Absolutely.
Says, I want this process to play out. But, you know, we also heard from Tara Zimmerman, who said, we need a change in our community because this doesn't work for us. If the legislature comes back in January and starts making changes, as communities are starting to put together their budgets and are trying to have some kind of stability, does that destabilize the whole process?
That is a concern, and I think it's a legitimate concern. The people who have already gone through the Act 46 process and put a lot of their own sweat and energy into it, obviously you don't want that to go to waste, and other people who are aggrieved by the process have the same kinds of concerns. So it will play out, and it will go to the legislature, but what's going to come out, we'll have to see.
But are you concerned? Do you have comments for the legislators about what you think should or could happen?
Yes. First is that they need to support this process with greater time and resources than what they have been to date. The State Board of Education doesn't have any staff. We've relied on the agency staff, which has been small in number, and the people have changed at different points in time. And that has been an obstacle. And we need some time to help these districts who have not had a tradition of working together to do so. Rutland Northeast, for example, that Jeannie was just talking about, has a history of working together quite well. Others don't have that kind of tradition over such a long period of time. And that's going to take some support and some encouragement.
Let's go to Jim, who's calling in from Springfield. Hi, Jim. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Mr. Mathis, thank you for your work on the State Board. I do have a question for you, though. As you're aware, the fifth goal of Act 46 is to provide value to the taxpayer. I'm curious, when I hear Ms. Zimmerman speak, and she says that Morristown has already had one tax increase when they merged with Elmore, they will face another tax increase when merged with Stowe, that long-term debt and capital debt will come off the shoulders of Stowe residents and transferred onto Morristown and Elmore residents. It seems to me the act fails. Can you explain why this tax burden being shifted from Stowe to Elmore and Morristown meets the goal of Act 46?
Jim, thanks for the call. Bill Mathis?
A couple of things here is that in each of the plans, there was a estimate in terms of the cost to be saved. And Jeannie Collins had just mentioned something like $1.5 million saved in the first year.
In Rutland?
In Rutland Northeast, which is only one of 60. And the big problem that we face is we've gone from something like 120,000 students down to 77,000 students, and we have the overhead and the structure for a much larger number than what we have. And so one of the objectives was to reduce that kind of cost on a per-pupil basis. In terms of your capital debt question, I definitely think that's something that needs to be taken up by the legislature. I have emailed with Representative Ansel on this point because it is a real concern that when you merge your capital debt, which was incurred by one town but not the other. And I think that some kind of smoothing process really is required there to make it more equitable.
In the absence of one, though, I mean, you have no guarantee that lawmakers will make a smooth process. So are you essentially you're putting more of a burden then on the Elmore Morristown School District?
The legislature wrote it that way in the law. That's the way the law is written. I don't think it's a correct way, but that's the way it is.
Do you feel tied? Do you feel like your hands are tied by the law, the way it's written?
In this particular case, yes.
So what recourse do you have? Why can't you just say, look, this isn't going to work. I know what the law says, but it doesn't work for the community.
Well, we simply have to go to the legislature and say that this particular piece does not work like it was intended. And it's their obligation at that point to fix it.
But you've told the communities you have to move forward with this merger in the meantime.
That's what the law requires.
So Kathy wrote to us to say consolidation was promoted as a way to control costs. However, the newly merged Mount Escutney District, which combined with the Windsor and West Windsor schools, promises to burden Windsor taxpayers with an unacceptable increase in taxes. An increase of $200 on a home valued at $100,000 was proposed at the 1120 school board meeting. In a town where many parents are struggling to feed and provide a home for their children, this places another stressful burden on families as landlords increase rents and tight budgets are squeezed. Bill, I hear what you're saying about your hands being a little bit tied by the law, but for people who feel like this is not fair and you're putting the burden on me and my family and we don't have the money for this and my town, you know, a squabble between the State Board of Education and lawmakers winds up just feeling more frustrating than anything else. How do you respond to people?
Well, the question is what is in the law and what the legislature has asked us to do and, in fact, required us to do. And the solution needs to be done by the people who construct the problem in the first place. I'd like to be nicer about it, but that's just simply the way that it is. Is the capital debt thing is as long as you have a narrow base to pay back a capital debt, it's going to be very onerous. So you want to spread out the base some. And that's what I personally think needs to be done.
Do you have a philosophy about this? I mean, you're on the State Board of Education. You're moving forward with recommendations. You know there's a lot of opposition, but also a lot of districts, as we've heard, have had positive experiences with mergers. Do you think we need a statewide approach to this, that communities themselves can't do the same thing that a state law that is unpleasant and difficult in some cases can do?
Well, there's two things on this. I look at it as a researcher and say, show me what the research says on this. And then there's the other and the research nationally is very ambiguous. And this is the ninth different consolidation effort in Vermont since the beginning of the state. But we do need to look at what the cost happened to be. One thing I push for is an evaluation of the process after 1 year and again after 3 years to see if we are in fact saving the money, where we're saving the money, what has been the effect on educational quality.
Well, it remains to be seen what happens next then. Bill Mathis is vice chair of the State Board of Education. Final recommendations are due and finalized on November 30th. Bill, thank you very much for talking with us.
Certainly. Glad to be here.
And listeners, you can follow all of our Act 46 reporting at vpr.net. Still more to come, of course.